Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up Monday, Governor Cuomo's Medicaid Reform Commission passes its recommendations. How would it affect home health care and other benefits for the elderly and the poor? And how would it affect taxes and the state budget? That's coming up Monday here on The Brian Lehrer Show. Now, driven by increases in the health and education sectors, New York City has been gaining proportionally more jobs and more population in the outer boroughs than in Manhattan. Transit service, however, has lagged behind that growth, a fact that shouldn't come as much of a surprise to anyone who's been trying to do a non-traditional New York commute, that is, between any two boroughs other than Manhattan or into surrounding counties. And that's according to a new report from the public policy think tank Center for an Urban Future, which goes on to argue that the population hurt the most by this lack of improved infrastructure is the city's working poor. We're joined now by the author of that report, David Giles, to unpack his findings. David, welcome to WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And listeners, we want to hear about your unusual commutes. If you don't start in Manhattan and don't end in Manhattan, Brooklyn to Queens, the Bronx to Points North, whatever, give us a call now and share your commuting stories. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and tell us if this commute is good or bad for you. A lot of people are very relieved not to be commuting into Manhattan, but who's commuting where and what do you need in terms of infrastructure if you could start a wish list? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for your commutes that don't involve Manhattan. So, David, who is commuting where that doesn't involve Manhattan? How is this changing? Put some meat on these bones.
Well, what we have found is since 1990, a lot of the new commuter trips in New York City are not going into Manhattan as they used to. A lot of the new commuter trips are going to job locations in the outer boroughs or into neighboring counties. So, for instance, since 1990 in the Bronx, the number of Bronx residents who are traveling to work in Westchester County or Queens has grown by 38%. The number of Bronx residents who travel to work inside the Bronx has grown 25%, while the number who travel into Manhattan has grown only 13% in the same time period. Staten Island is another place where you see really, really quite striking discrepancies. A lot of the new commuter trips in Staten Island are going to New Jersey and Brooklyn, so you see since 1990, 22% growth. The number of commuters traveling inside Staten Island has grown 32%, but the number of Staten Islanders traveling to Manhattan has only grown by 4% in the same time period. So it's really barely changed at all.
Here is Adam in Trenton, who commutes to Brooklyn, Red Hook.
Yeah, that's right.
You just live too far from your job, that's all.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to save up enough money to get an apartment somewhere around Red Hook, but I'm not very good at it.
All right. So what's your commute like?
I start in Trenton, and I ride my bike to the train station. I take New Jersey Transit to Penn Station. Then I walk to Herald Square and take the F train to Smith and 9th Street, and then I take the B61 to Red Hook, and there's a short walk from there.
So you take the bike to the train to the subway to the bus to your walk.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's see. Who else has a commute? Lauren in Brooklyn? You have a commute that doesn't involve Manhattan? All right. I guess we don't have Lauren. So let me go back to David Giles. David, one of the central, maybe the central thesis of your report seems to be that the working poor get frozen out of the discussion of transportation infrastructure development with commutes growing in these directions. Why is that the case?
Well, in part, it's because we're seeing a lot of job growth in the outer boroughs. Since 2000, for instance, Manhattan has lost about 110,000 jobs. The city as a whole has lost about 41,000 jobs. But every other borough has seen significant job gains in that time. And two really strong sectors in the city are education and healthcare. And though Midtown Manhattan has a number of prominent hospitals and universities, most of the growing organizations in those two sectors are in the outer boroughs. So if you're traveling from, you know, one side of Brooklyn to the other, or from Brooklyn to Queens to get to work, either you're going to drive, you're going to take a subway into Manhattan and then come back out again, or you're going to take the bus.
And that was Adam's case, going from, I mean, forget the fact that he started all the way down in Trenton, trying to go from New Jersey to Brooklyn. Let's just look at that much of that example that we got. Trying to go from New Jersey to Brooklyn, he had to go through Manhattan in order to do it by mass transit.
Right, yeah, and that actually happens a lot. So, for instance, the number of Brooklyn residents who work in Queens, that has grown really quite significantly since 1990, 32% increase. But the G train is not capable of handling all that capacity. So what you have is a lot of people taking the trains into Manhattan, they're transferring to another train, and then they're coming back out into Queens. You know, buses really could take up the slack and help a lot of people get to where they're going. But the buses are incredibly slow, they're undependable, and really the people who ride buses these days are the ones who really have no other choice.
And the G train is, I believe, the only train that goes, except for a shuttle here or there, that doesn't either start in Manhattan or end in Manhattan or at least pass through Manhattan, right? Only the G train.
Right, yeah, I think that's right.
And yet, if the commutes are going in the direction that you say, where more and more don't have to do with Manhattan one way or the other, it still seems that the only rail proposals that we're hearing involve the Second Avenue subway, which is obviously Manhattan, or extending the 7 train into New Jersey, which involves Manhattan. So why aren't more people talking about this in the transit sector?
Well, the MTA, I think, you know, has done some things. They've taken some tentative steps to try to speed up buses, but they're really very limited. And a lot of the MTA's big capital projects have been very Manhattan-centric. So you have the Second Avenue subway, you have the 7 train extension, you have East Side Access for Long Island Railroad. Those are very, very expensive projects, and they are all for Manhattan commuters.
How about this one? Regarding the G train, Jim on our comments page writes, yes, why doesn't the G train go one extra stop to Queens Plaza so riders can have subway access to Queens trains other than the M and the E? Just one stop, he writes.
Well, it's expensive to dig a tunnel one stop, even in Queens. So, you know, I mean, that could cost $1 billion right there. And I think, you know, the money isn't there for that kind of project. But I think the money is there and could be there for better buses. And that's really what we're talking about in this report. Making investments in the city's bus system, expanding what's sometimes called bus rapid transit technologies to the system to really speed up buses and make them more dependable, that is a fraction of the cost of digging tunnels in the outer boroughs or in the central city. And it could make a big difference to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. A lot of people already depend on the buses. So, for instance, surprisingly, one of the most surprising facts that I uncovered in doing the research for this report is that among Queens commuters who travel to work inside Queens, more people depend on the bus than depend on the subway.
But isn't this already a big priority for Mayor Bloomberg and his Transportation Commissioner Sadiq Khan?
They have done, I think, a pretty good job with the Second Avenue bus line and with the Fordham Road bus line. They're looking at 34th Street now, and they have one more bus line that they're looking at on Highland Boulevard that will travel between Staten Island and Brooklyn. But they could be doing a lot more to expand these efforts. They could expand some bus rapid transit technologies across the board. So, for instance, one really easy thing they could be doing is installing GPS devices on all city buses. They're talking about doing that with all of the city plows. They could do that for buses, too, and what that would enable is for people to check on their cell phones and find out immediately exactly where the bus is and how long it will take to get to them. What we found in our research is a lot of especially working poor people who have multiple transfers on buses, buses are incredibly undependable for them. And these are people that have multiple jobs and multiple appointments, and they have a hard time getting to those places because buses are just not dependable.
Nonina in Queens, show us your commute.
So I come from New Rochelle, and usually I take a bus or I get dropped off at a train in the Bronx. And then I take the 6 line all the way down and transfer to the E to get into Long Island City. But if there was a bus somewhere in the Bronx that went over the Triborough Bridge, it would put me right into Queens and would cut off so much time and would just be more convenient. Why do I need to go through Manhattan to do everything?
Yeah, there you go. So her commute is New Rochelle, Westchester to Long Island City, Queens, David, and all she needs is a bus that goes Bronx to Long Island City. And I guess she doesn't have one.
Right. Well, I'm not sure she can just she'll get a single bus from Westchester County to Long Island City, but
no. But
she's
saying if there was a city bus that went over the Triborough Bridge, the Bronx to Queens part, then she wouldn't have to go through the city.
I think that's a great idea. I think the MTA should be really looking hard at proposals like that.
One more thing before you go. Your report, obviously from this conversation too, is focused on mass transit. But what about the way that most people commute outside Manhattan, which is by car? Why don't you have a loud call here for better roads and fewer tolls and cheaper gasoline, since, you know, the transit system is certainly the trains are pretty well built up to be oriented to in and out of Manhattan? Why not call for better roads here?
Well, because the roads are already extremely congested. If you were to try to encourage everyone to invest in a car and drive a car to work to overcome some of these problems, I think you'll find no one could get anywhere. It's a big problem. You know, according to the MTA's own estimates, if the population growth that they foresee in Queens happens, then you can expect 100,000 new cars on the road. Same thing in Staten Island. If the population increases come to pass by 2030, you can expect 100,000 new cars in Staten Island, and the roads will never be able to handle that kind of capacity.
We're out of time, but a number of people have written on our comments page, the guest is wrong. There's no need to dig a new tunnel to connect the G train with Queens Plaza. That tunnel already exists and was used for a year until recent cuts. Do you know that to be true?
I don't know that. That's a fascinating little fact, though. That would be interesting to see how the city could use that tunnel. I don't know anything about it, though.
So we will try to confirm that. But we thank David Giles from the Center for an Urban Future for his report on commuting in our area that does not involve Manhattan. How can people see your report? You have it online?
Yes, we have it at nycfuture.org. They can download a PDF and read the whole report.
Thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we'll talk to the pioneering environmentalist Lester Brown. He started the first research institute devoted to global environmental issues back in 1974, and he's got a new book. We'll talk about where we've come since 1974 with Lester Brown coming up in a minute.